Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, May 25th. Happy Saturday. Hope you're having a wonderful day of rest if your work schedule permits, and that you get some time to reflect on God's Word, beauty in creation, and also on the gift that is community. I'm reading in John's Gospel and in the Proverbs through the New International Version. We're picking up in John chapter 18, starting in verse 25, and this is the section where Peter denies Jesus a second and a third time. So yesterday, Bates read about Peter's first denial, and then we'll read about Jesus before Pilate. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early in the morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace, because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him in your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and your chief priest handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Before we move on, I just want to recap a little bit. In yesterday's reading, Jesus is before Annas and Caiaphas, the Jewish leaders, and now they've brought him before Pilate, which would be the Roman leader. And in the midst of this, Peter is outside and he is in kind of like this holding area, maybe a courtyard of sorts, and he's warming himself because it's cold and it's the middle of the night. And several people say to him, "I think you were with him." And it's kind of a harrowing, haunting scene where Peter denies knowing Jesus three times. And then what happens? The rooster crows. And we can all identify with Peter, can't we? We have these grand ideas about how we're going to serve the Lord, and then we falter. So grateful for the rest of the story that we're going to get to read in John about Peter and Jesus and their reconciliation. But before I get too far, let's move on in the story. So Jesus is before Pilate. And Pilate does not want to execute Jesus. In fact, he goes to the Jews and says, "I find no basis or no charge against him." And he also tries to give them a chance to have Jesus freed, but they will not hear of it. In the midst of this dialogue, Jesus says that he has come to testify to the truth. Do you remember what Pilate said in response? What is truth? This idea that there cannot be any absolute truth still lives today. But we know that John's gospel has taught us that Jesus says, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. And we believe in an objective truth that we have a Redeemer. Our only Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, in whom God becomes man and bears the penalty of sin for us. And because of this, Lord Christ, we say thank you and hallelujah. Moving on to the Proverbs today, we're in Proverbs chapter 28. We'll be reading 12 verses, verses 1 through 12. The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. When a country is rebellious, it has many rulers, but a ruler with discernment and knowledge maintains order. A ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain that leaves no crops. Those who forsake instruction praise the wicked, but those who heed it resist them. Evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. Better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. A discerning son heeds instruction, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. Whoever increases wealth by taking interest or profit from the poor amasses it for another. Who will be kind to the poor? If anyone returns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Whoever leads the upright along an evil path will fall into their own trap, but the blameless will receive a good inheritance. The rich are wise in their own eyes. One who is poor and discerning sees how deluded they are. When the righteous triumph, there is great elation, but when the wicked rise to power, people go into hiding. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Here in verse 9, I'm challenged that the Lord desires that we listen to his instruction in his word. And so I want to thank you for listening along and for seeking to do what is in God's word. He says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Or as it says in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Listen to this quote by Evelyn Christensen, who is the author of What Happens When Women Pray. If we are living in sin and liking it, if we are keeping it there, finding that it feels kind of good, if we're regarding, nurturing, padding that little sin along, God does not hear us. In the book that I'm reading, Pray Confidently and Consistently, Valerie Warner says that this idea of God not regarding our prayer feels wrong coming from a loving God. And we interpret it to mean that he has stepped away because he can't handle our sin, like it's too disgusting or something. But if we keep digging into Scripture, we learn that as we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And while unconfessed sin is clearly going to hinder a deeper prayer life with the Lord, it's also going to wreak havoc on our hearts. David wrote in the Psalms, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." At the end of this section, she gives a tip about how to start with confession if you do not know how to confess your sins. It says, take a few minutes to examine your day and ask the Lord to reveal your thoughts, your words, your attitudes and your actions that did not honor him. Express your sorrow over your sin and ask for his forgiveness. Will you pray with me? According to the words of Psalm 139, 23 and 24, Lord, we pray, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Reveal to me, Father, thoughts and words and attitudes and actions today that are dishonoring to you. And forgive me, Father. Help me to be humble in spirit. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord, I pray. Amen.